Welcome to Spiritual Changemakers, the podcast that guides you through tough times with practical tools and inspiring stories. I'm Andrea Thomas, your host and the Sacred Transitions Coach. Join us as we hear from spiritual changemakers who have connected with their higher power and overcame adversity. Whether you are navigating a difficult transition or seeking to deepen your spiritual practice, our podcast provides guidance to help you find magic in the change. Come on this journey of self-discovery, empowerment, and transformation with us and unlock your potential to become your best self. And welcome, beautiful souls, to a new podcast episode on Spiritual Changemakers. I'm very excited that today we have Jennifer Regular, and she's a soul illuminator. And I'm just going to say a few words about her, and after that, we are going to invite her to describe herself the most, because who can do that better than herself? And what Jennifer has been doing, she has been assisting those at a crossroads. We focus on their inner essence so they can free their spirit and invoke their passion to live their purpose with strength and vulnerability. Jennifer Regular is known as a soul illuminator and is the creator of Lightening the Path, a company dedicated to helping business leaders, visionary entrepreneurs, and conscious organizations make a positive impact in the world. So welcome, Jennifer. So excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much, Andrea. This is fantastic. I love the work you're doing in bringing spiritual change makers together, because the world needs it and people are hungry for this, to be able to create the change and the impact and recognize our spiritual sovereignty. So thank you for having me here.
Thank you for coming. And Jennifer, tell us a little bit about yourself and what made you become a soul illuminator and what even a soul illuminator is.
For sure. I can do that. And really, when we can live our lives from soul, when we are led by our soul, then we can really use the acronym that soul is, which is sending out universal love. So being able to share and radiate our light, our love out into the world. The soul illuminator came from a couple of different people, actually. We're talking about how I illuminate, or that I am the soul illuminator. I'm like, I really like that title. I think I'm going to use that because it's really fitting. And of course, it blends in with my business, which is called Lighting the Path. But I've always used the soul-centered approach, because having worked in professions where I was stuck in the system, it was us against them, this kind of roll-to-roll way of relating just really wasn't for me. It wasn't really aligned with who I was. I wasn't able to make the kind of difference that I really wanted to, and really support people that would create conditions for them to really feel empowered and to nurture their gifts and really become who they came here to be and do what they came here to do. So after 20 years of trying to do that through different social services type organizations, I really wanted to connect with people soul to soul, because I thought that's really where the magic happens, where the meaning happens, where the impact happens, where we can truly make a difference. And so really lifting people up to where they've been knocked down so much. Like, there's so many people that have become, and myself included, dispirited. We lose our spirit, our essence, our life force, our power to be able to really live life fully in all its aspects. And so I wanted to help people keep their spirit intact. And for that, we needed to connect more soul to soul. And when I'm illuminating, it's really just aligning and activating them with their spark. And we spoke about passion there in the introduction. And the way I see passion is, when you break up the word, it's pass I on. And that I is your soul's expression of what you're here to pass on in this lifetime. And that has so much meaning for me because of all the loss that I've been through in multiple times in my life. And then when it pertained to someone like a loved one who had passed on, I would listen and observe how people would speak about that person that had passed on. And it was always about their spirit, their energy, their vibrancy, the way that they interacted with them or taught them or caused them a lot of challenging situations that casted self-doubt upon them. And we have that much power that we can influence people's life by our energy and our passion. And so I really help people cultivate that. I illuminate that so that they can spark that out into the world and really radiate that. So that's how I've become the soul illuminator.
Thank you for sharing your beautiful story. And one question I love to ask all of my guests is, what is spirituality for you? How do you embrace spirituality in your life, and how do you define it?
Spirituality is really tuning into your soul and your spirit. So your energy, your life force energy, your vibrancy, your special way of being in the world, and remembering that we are spiritual beings having this human experience. And so stepping into your spiritual sovereignty is very akin to stepping into your authenticity and making that congruence so that you're that person, no matter who you're interacting with, no matter what job or parenthood or whatever you're engaging in, it's still yourself that comes through, your spirituality, and recognizing that you're here for a higher purpose, that you can allow yourself to integrate into a higher consciousness model of living that is based in spirituality and our spirit form and our spiritual sovereignty. It's really shining your light into the world. And light can be an acronym for living in God's highest truth and God of your understanding. So really, spirituality for me is recognizing the deeper meaning of why you're here and what you came here to do.
Thank you for sharing. When would you say your connection with spirituality and connecting with your truth and with your authenticity has started?
Lifetimes ago. Not what you call it, an old soul. So I came into the life that way. However, there was a lot that I had forgotten, as many of us do, and had to relearn and reawaken those gifts and those connections that we have with other realms and dimensions in spirit. And so how it came back for me, I remember when I was 6 years old, I experienced the first death in the family. And my mom described the death as, well, he's your guardian angel now. And I learned later in life that's not necessarily true. Guardian angel's a little bit different than the way she described it. However, at 6 years old, I took it to mean that's what happened. And I would just start talking to the angels. You know, I would start talking to my guardian angel. Little did I know that it opened me up into the whole angelic realm. And so later in life, I started working with the angels more and more, doing some channeling and mediumship as well. And then always felt a strong kinship with native spirituality as well, with ceremony, with the teachings, with the oral tradition, and feeling interconnectedness of all our relations. And so it really developed through sitting around with elders, going to different mentors, studying various sacred texts, and experiencing my own spirit and spirituality and what that meant. And so it's been a lifelong exploration, but I'd say that's when it started, was when I was 6 years old and speaking to the angels.
I know for me, because I grew up Catholic, like spirituality, it wasn't really associated with religion. I feel like they were two separate things. And then after I left from home, I got fully disconnected from even believing in something higher until I was, I don't want to say forced, but I was redirected by life and by circumstances to look again for that connection to something higher. And this is a reason why I ask all of my guests what spirituality means for them, because I want to help the listeners to really find and define that for themselves, because it can mean and look so different for each and everyone. And when it starts, I would say it doesn't even matter. But the fact to have that faith in something bigger, it really helps you live life and experience life at a such a profound way with more meaning, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. And with spirituality, one way of seeing it different from religion is that not only is it separate from religion, but it also includes it, because spirituality is so all-encompassing and inclusive.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that really draws me to it, because my whole vision for humanity is co-creating global harmony. And that means everybody. And that means everyone is together, united in this higher consciousness, creating this conscious connection, singing our heart songs, so we're in melody with the cause as well. So it's literally all encompassing. It's not just what we physically experience as spirituality in this plane, spirituality is on many different levels and many different dimensions and in the cosmos and the earth. And like I said, all our relations, it's really all of creation. So it's really all encompassing, inclusive. And one of the draws for many people not wanting to get stuck into any particular way of thinking or disconnect from other belief systems that, well, whatever people may be believing at that time, and all the dogma and all the ways of having to do things right in a certain way, where spirituality is more accepting of who you truly are, because it's who we are as spiritual beings.
Yes, and I would say also accepting and embracing the differences between each and every human. And that's the beauty. And how have you kept your faith in practice while you have gone through those really major challenges in your life? Especially, you have mentioned you have lost so many people throughout your life.
Yeah. Keeping your spirit intact is definitely key, because especially on the path of a healer, there's many initiations, I would call them, rites of passage to go through, because we need to experience that to be able to heal ourselves and to help facilitate the healing others as well. So particularly if you're a healer, if you're an empath, like for myself, feeling things so deeply that it's easy to become disheartened, disillusioned, run down, and burnt out. I experienced a lot of burnout. So what helped me keep the faith, I'm going to give you another acronym, is finding answers in the heart. That's what faith means to me, is finding answers in the heart. So instead of looking externally and grasping at things, thoughts, and people to help us figure things out, who we are and what we do, that really comes back to us. They can mirror us, but really comes to finding those answers in the heart. And what helped me keep the faith was knowing that I was here to serve. I've been purpose-driven from a very young age, really feeling that, having a longing for that, not really understanding what it all meant. And I still continue on that journey about how best to serve. It was just that I knew that there was something more that I was here for. I trusted in the higher power. I trusted in a greater force guiding me. Oftentimes I've lost countless times. I've had 16 different jobs within my profession. I had 8 or so different ways that shaped my business. All in different ways is understanding that we're always being led. And each time I was on a pivot, it was having to embrace that power to change and to really step into the courage and be who we came here to be. Keep following that and trusting the process of life to take care of us. And each time in those pivots, I would just put my hands out to receive the answers of universe, find me where I need to be, doing what I need to be doing. And it was rolling that over to the higher power to guide me and for soul to guide me. How can I continue to send out this universal love if I'm not feeling the love? And always looking at the deeper meaning. I did a lot of self-inquiry when a situation happened that was highly unpleasant. I knew that there was a deeper truth in there and I wasn't able to see it. So I'd always go in and sometimes out to find out what it meant. What's the deeper meaning? Why is this happening? But the deeper why, not the victim, blame, self-pity kind of, why is this happening to me? But why is this happening to me and for me? Recognizing that it was happening for me. What is this leading me to? What's the deeper meaning? And you know what, Andrea? Most of the time, it was out of alignment. And I didn't think it was. It felt right at the time. But somehow, it didn't quite fit with who I was or what I came here to do. And that became so pronounced for me during my marriage when I totally lost all sense of who I was, and my spirit was so far gone. I needed to reconnect. I was unplugged from any source of power, which essentially meant I felt powerless. I didn't have any kind of power. And a lot of my stuff got destroyed. If you've ever been in a dense fog, it's hard to see through that.
Yes.
Right? It's heavy and it's obscure. And that's how life would feel for me when I went through those dark nights of the soul, when I wasn't aligned with who I was or what I was meant to be doing. And again, an acronym for that is fear, obligation, and guilt. And when we're motivated by that, when we're moving and living our lives operating from the fog of fear, obligation, and guilt, there's going to be some suffering involved. There's going to be some heartache. We're going to become dispirited because that's not a good life force energy to be moving through like what? And it took a while to realize that. And it was really my strength and spirit that helped me, and how I strengthened my spirit was engaging in spiritual wellness practices, in soul care practices, so that I keep myself intact, so that I can embrace my power. And it became a healing journey of self-discovery, which is what I wrote about in my book. When I was 10 years old, I really was tuned in and witnessing how people became dispirited. And when I was conceiving of the ideas for that book, it was when I was going to call it When Society Determines Your Destiny. And that's, again, where we give away our power to society, to beliefs of others, expectations of others, and then get caught up in that fog of fear, obligation, and guilt. And then the light came on when I realized that's not really what I want to talk about. What I really want to share is how we can actually embrace our power. And that comes through a pilgrimage to the heart, back into the heart, having that faith, finding the answers there in the heart, and recognizing that's the way forward. So again, that having soul lead.
Yes. And I have witnessed with myself, with my clients, and so many people around, that when we get into a relationship, it's so easy to lose yourself. And I think especially if you are an empath and if you are a people pleaser and you just love giving, it's so easy to constantly prioritize the needs of the other person and forget about yourself. And right now, even for me, being in a new relationship, I'm constantly witnessing my patterns that I would like, oh no, I'm not going to go and meditate or take that time for myself because I want to be with him, or because I want to do that with him. So it's witnessing my old behavior within this relationship where I'm much more aware, and knowing that if I would continue the same, it's going to take to frustration and depletion of my own energy. So tell me, how did you get to the point of realizing that, okay, I'm not in my power. I'm operating from the fog, from the fear, obligation, and guilt. And then you were able to look at yourself for more from afar, so you can create the shift and the change that was needed in order to step back into your power.
Well, you think about when we're driving through the fog, what do?
We turn on
the beams, the light beams. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we need to do within ourselves too, is turn that switch, turn on those light beams so that we can see our way through the fog. You don't skip the soulful practices. You don't skip time for yourself. You don't skip the meditation or whatever it is that's practicing that fuels you, that keeps you conscious, connected, that supports you, because then you're starting to break promises to yourself. You start disempowering yourself and dispiriting yourself. So to keep that spirit intact, you keep those promises to yourself. You engage in those soulful, spiritual practices to keep us well. And that doesn't mean that you need to choose that over your relationship or spending time. It's now recognizing how to balance those buckets, how to allow time for both to exist, because you're still each individuals and you're also creating this new energy and bond together, and how that shows up. So being in relationship with each other and maintaining the relationship with yourselves, each of you individually as well, when that's still really living life fully. So it doesn't have to be that we have to sacrifice our practices and our time for someone else. Sacrifice originally meant making sacred. And so when we restore and come back to the sacred, then we recognize how important those practices are for us, you know, and then we have that reverence for life, and it really lifts us up into a higher way of being. And from that, we can be more in our relationships, in our work, or as a parent, guardian, friend, or whoever we need to be, it empowers us. It gives us more power, more influence, more impact when we can connect with those practices that do empower us and do support us and keep our spirit intact. So how do we come to that? It's a decision to be able to do that until it becomes a habit. And that's how we start any new habit. We start off with it being as an idea, and then we make a decision and we develop that more, and then we feel into the rhythm to build that momentum. And then we manifest exactly what it is that we need in our lives, that we want in our life, and make it a reality, and we birth that. And we basically go through this cycle of transformation. So having that awareness, going through the rite of passage of allowing it to form into birthing what it is that we're doing it all for.
Right? Remembering the why behind it.
Yes.
I did.
And that's an important word too that you just mentioned, Andrea, is remembering. Because dismemberment is the opposite of that. And that's when we all fall apart. We become fragmented. And in some marriages, relationships, when there's been abuse, like there was in mine, I experienced domestic violence. And I worked in that field too for a while. And people would always ask, why do people keep going back? Sometimes it's for physical reasons, like they can't find another place to live. They don't have the money. It's for the kids or something else. On a spiritual level, it's because there's parts of our soul that are left with that person. And we're actually wanting to reconnect with those parts of ourselves. Our soul becomes fragmented. And so in my shamanic work, that's where I supported a lot of people in that soul remembrance, soul retrieval, and power animal retrieval, so that we can restore that power, so that we can gather back those parts of ourselves that have been left out. We lose parts of ourselves in different places that we've worked or served as well. We give a lot of ourselves, especially the type of people that we are and that we surround ourselves with and that we see in our clients, is that we give a lot. We take on a lot of burden and have this sense of over-responsibility because we feel that. We really feel that kind of what we came here to do. However, it's really important to have those practices to keep the balance and to make a decision of what's in our own best interest too, because the more that we can do that, then we can show up as the best version of ourselves for the people that we work with, the people that we serve, in our relationships, for our family, and most importantly, for ourselves.
Yeah. And you mentioned something to make the best decisions for ourselves. Mm. And when I hear that, I hear all these voices out there saying, oh yeah, but wouldn't that make me selfish? And being selfish, it had such a bad reputation within the world because we have been taught that we constantly have to give and prioritize everyone else and everything else outside of us. And if we prioritize us first, then it's wrong. Yeah. That means you are a bad person and you are selfish. So how we dismantle that belief and the fact that, okay, when you make the best decision for yourself, that means you live in alignment with self, which is only benefiting you, but it's benefiting everyone around you. Because if you are happy, then everyone around you can be happy as well. But if you are unhappy and frustrated, then again, that's going to be redirected and focused on those around us. So it's like this cycle again.
Yeah, the biggest lie that we've ever heard is that two things. One is you're not good enough. And second is that selfish. Those are counter forces that work against you living your best life. So recognize that. Also, that's why I kind of like the idea of soul care rather than self-care for a couple of reasons. One is self-care, when you think about it, it feeds into that belief that we're not good enough. You're not exercising enough. You're not sleeping enough. You're not eating the right food. So do better. Improve yourself. And related to all of those kind of things are, I think, selfish because indulgence of going for a facial or a massage at the spa, we call that self-care as well. All of those things are self-care. They're all important. And why wouldn't we want to take care of ourselves? We can't expect anyone else to do that. That causes resentment. So it's important that we do take self-responsibility. Responding to our own needs, taking care of ourselves. What's wrong with that? I mean, that's what we need to do. So the other thing about soul care is that it moves us further up on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if anyone remembers that. We had those base survival needs, and then we have build that foundation. Those are important. I'm not saying that they're not. But we can also move beyond that, because all of those needs for love, belonging, self-esteem, or basic survival needs for food, shelter, and money, all important stuff. They're also deficiency needs. They're needs that we need to fill, or that not enough, to that self-perpetuating cycle. Once we have that, we build on that and we create stronger soul care and self-care practices so that we can reach the pinnacle of self-actualization and even transcendence, which has been added on since. And some of those are cognitive needs and aesthetic needs, being wanting to be surrounded in beauty. And I'm not talking about vain beauty, but noticing the wonder of life, how beautiful nature is. That's, again, a spiritual practice, is touching life deeply and seeing how beautiful love is, joy, wonder, nature, food, and anything that we're, when we can be really mindful and touch it deeply, we experience what it offers us, which is joy and peace, contentment, love, all those higher vibrations. And then what do we experience? Gratitude, the blessings, and just this openness, and we smile and our eyes sparkle, and that's beautiful. Yeah. And so it's really when we can engage and allow ourselves to engage in self-care, soul care, and spiritual practices, then we are moving up into that self-actualization. So I think it's important to realize that self-care isn't selfish. That's one of the biggest lies that we tell ourselves, and a belief that I don't even know. I mean, how does that serve? How is that useful to think of self-care as selfish?
It is not. And would you like to share, Jennifer, with a few more practices, a few more tools on how they can engage into that soul care and self-care?
Yeah. Number one is doing the things that you love. What is it you love? And if it's hard to think of that, make a list. Like, even if you could just do it right now, write down 3 things. And then maybe even 5, or if you want to challenge yourself, do 10. And you're already starting to program your brain. You're creating that suggestion that you're looking for things that you love and what you love to do. You can even observe how you move through the day and notice how it's making you feel. Notice the things that light you up. Notice the things that you love doing that make you happy, feel content. Or there's times in my day when I think, oh, I'm so happy right now. Or I love this. Notice when you're saying that or thinking that, because those are real key clues that lift you up, that raise your spirit, that help you keep your spirit intact. And write them down and then commit to doing them at least one daily, if not, if you feel like you have time. You got to make the time, because in the long run, it's a really important investment to make the time now. And it doesn't have to be long. It could be short at first, having those moments, like that first sip of your favorite beverage, for example. Touch that deeply. Feel into that. Make it a mindful practice. So doing the things that you're already doing, you can do it more mindfully. You can do it with joy. Mm-hmm. You can see it through a different lens. You can be playful in it. So being able to play with different ways of being, writing down the things that you love to do and actually doing them. I mean, that's fun. And recognizing how it lights you up. It makes things lighter. Actually lighting up. We talk about the lights, living in God's highest truth, and also that it feels lighter. It's not so heavy or run down. You have more energy, more vitality. And love is another acronym for lots of vital energy. So the things you love bring you that vital energy and support you, fuel you, and your passions, the pass eye on of that eye of what you came here to do. And walking into a forest, for example, recognizing what's around you, how it feels to be there. This is one of my happy places. This is what soothes my senses and supports me. Yesterday, I was walking through the Enchanted Forest Park here in Pender Island, BC. I was exploring it for the first time, and I was finding all these fairy doors that people had placed under trees. And it was so delightful. Those daily delights are important to notice and to reawaken that wonder of life. Because I remember I was completely burnt out from a live-in care position I had during the lockdown time and beyond. And I was not feeling anything. I was not feeling inspired. I was not feeling motivated. Zero energy. I was just tired. I didn't have any vision for my life anymore. I was just done, bent over. But somehow spirit moved me outside a little bit at a time. And I started noticing things again. And I noticed what made me smile or stop. When it could be something as simple as a really cute statue someone had outside on their front lawn, or a flower that had just bloomed. It was like beautiful, or just those little mysterious things of how a flower turned into a fruit or a vegetable. Like, that's just fascinating to me. Like, there's magic and alchemy and transformation that's happening all around us all the time. And it's also happening within, but tuning into those daily delights. So I started writing them down every day, what my daily delights were. And I did that for a month. And then it started coming naturally again. I reopened my creative flow. I opened myself up to inspiration, because I didn't have any room for that anymore, because I had taken so much on. So I needed to plug back in to that power source and refuel myself. And these were some of the ways that I did it: going out into nature, noticing the beauty that surrounds me or that makes me smile, starting engaging in the things I love, even coloring mandalas, painting, or dancing. Oh, dancing is so good, Andrea. It is so good because it moves your body, it gets you out of your mind, and you feel the music, you feel the rhythm to build the momentum. That's what dancing does, and that's what we want any of our practices to do, is tune us back into our natural rhythms. And so being out in the earth, I mean, we call her Mother Gaia, Mother Earth, Mother Nature. For a reason, she's our mother. She embraces us. And so we can feel her. We can lie down on the grass and green up, as we talk about in shamanic practice, when we need that greening up to revitalize. And we can go hug a tree and feel that lifeblood and notice the tree, the roots and the strong trunk and the branching out and touching the sky and being rooted to the earth. Like, how can we embody that? So finding the things that you love to do physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, make sure you've got all of those in there. Into cosmic energy is something else that I do, because then I recognize, oh, that's why this is happening. Oh, that's what's going. And then those rhythms you can also tune into and start to mirror in your own life, in your physical life. Follow that along. Be in the flow, as we talk about. It's not something that we force or have to do. It's just allowing yourself to come back into your natural rhythms. Being out in the earth is going to naturally reset you. So if you're getting at a loss of what to do, just go step outside. Go find a piece of nature for you. And you're in the bustling city, look for a place that you can experience a bit of quiet as an empath. Downtime is essential for us. We need that quiet and that solitude. So definitely making time for that, and meditation, and making your life a living prayer. What are you offering to yourself and to others? Being more conscious of that. There's something that I teach, how to cope with anything. When cope, the letters, there's a lot of ways we can do this, but very simply, conscious connection. It's only temporary. Ponder the possibilities and practice patience. And then you can do energy work, which I find really beneficial. There's lots of different modalities out there. So find yours. And that also is going to help you restore your energy and vitality and help you release all the stuff that's not serving you. Give yourself time and energy in your life to support the ways that are going to empower you. Or exit the situation. So energy work, embrace your power, exit the situation. Because sometimes those aren't conditions that support your best way of living in this world. And sometimes we do need to leave that. And there's going to be some grief around that. It's going to be a little challenging and hard. What it opens you up to is like beyond anything you imagined. And so I know, Andrea, you have your own stories around that. You can't see what's on the other side until you open that door. And open your heart again. Those are some ways. Find things that light you up. Start to recognize that. Do the things that you love to do. Be out in nature. Find some quiet time. Engage in the practices that really revitalize you, restore you, feel empowered, give you what you're looking for. Even knowing what you're looking for. Do you want more peace? Do you want more joy? Do you want love in your life? What is it that you want? And then putting yourself in the situations that would support that, surrounding yourself with the people that help you feel into those feelings, or going for mentorship, coaching, support, a program, a community where you can engage with others to maintain your vibration, right? Because it's another thing too, when we start doing these things and lift us up and then we go home to visit family or something else, and then we resort to our old ways of being. There's a little bit about that. But when we start engaging in practices on a regular basis, then our recovery time is lessened. It doesn't take us as long to recover from those not so empowering situations because we've built up our strength. We're keeping our spirit strong and intact. We can do that.
Yes. And it's not about not experiencing them or anything, because I think that's where a lot of people get hung up, that, oh my God, I've been doing so much self-care and so much healing and so many things. Why am I still experiencing hardship, judgment, and whatever it is that you don't want to experience? And it's a matter of coming to the realization that it's not about not having those in your life, but as you just shared, it's like, how fast do you recover from those? And that's where you will see your progress, not in not experiencing them anymore.
Yes, and nothing will come to you that you can't handle. This is why we have the practices, so that we have the tools to meet those challenges and to overcome them. Exactly. And show people the way through and to embrace our humanness as well. We came here, and how do we want to move this human form through this life? And just witnessing that, what's happening and what's coming to us. There's lots of teachings in Buddhism too about like hermits that are meditating and then they're doing all of this, and then they get angry when they get disturbed. Cultivating that, it still happens. It happens to the best of us. And it's not an ego thing or self-pity of, why is this happening to me? No, it's like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, isn't that interesting? This is coming up again, another layer that I get to heal, recover, and overcome. It's like a little graduation thing.
And the person is with curiosity, you know?
Yes, exactly. And not shaming or blaming yourself. Again, being so kind to yourself, having compassion for yourself, cultivating that self-compassion and building the capacity to hold it all. But it's part of our human experience. There's ways to do that.
So many beautiful shares, Jennifer, and so many golden nuggets that I know is going to be able to take and apply in their life and better their lives and their spiritual practices and implement the soul care. I absolutely loved everything you've shared. Thank you so much. And I know we are coming very close to an end. And what are some of the words that people like to leave with?
I have a motto, and that's free your spirit to direct the life that you're meant to live.
Free your spirit. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing your beautiful story, your beautiful practices, your wisdom, and your care for what you are doing, because it definitely comes across. So I appreciate so much you taking the time and share here with all of us. And thank you to everyone who's listening. Make sure you're going to go and find Jennifer and follow her. And what are you going to take out from this podcast and applying your life so you better yourself, you better your spiritual practices, and you rediscover yourself and remember who you are, as Jennifer shared. Thank you to each and every one of you. And thank you again, Jennifer.
So much gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. And I believe in you.
Thanks for tuning in to Spiritual Changemakers Podcast. To stay connected and help us reach more people like you, please subscribe, follow, and leave a comment. Join our community of spiritual changemakers on social media to connect with like-minded individuals and continue the conversation. Remember, the power to create positive change is within you. Keep showing up as your best self, and let's keep the magic of change alive. Until next time.